You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the disposal of your household trash is a highly engineered process, and it's come a long way. Gone are the days of digging a hole and calling it the city dump. Instead, we have carefully planned and monitored sites. We'll talk to an engineering expert about Wisconsin's landfills, present, past, and future. Now, President Trump pardoned conservative commentator Dinesh D'Souza last week for campaign finance violations. The president also hinted at pardoning lifestyle celebrity Martha Stewart and commuting the sentence for former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. He had also previously pardoned Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Vice President Dick Cheney's former advisor Scooter Libby. And the president claimed this week that he has the authority to pardon himself amid the ongoing Russia investigation, though he maintains he's done nothing wrong. Alan Lichtman is a distinguished professor in the Department of History at American University and the author of several books. His latest is The Case for Impeachment. Alan, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, do you see a common message in the president's pardons and the people he's talking about pardoning? Any common themes standing out to you?
I see three common themes. Number one, his pardons have nothing to do with whether these people are really guilty of the crimes for which they were convicted, and two, it has nothing to do with whether or not these folks are remorseful for their crimes. Secondly, the president has utterly ignored all standard procedures with which pardons usually go through careful vetting in the United States Department of Justice. And three, by pardoning people with whom he is politically compatible, he is sending a message to those who have been charged and may be charged in the future by Robert Mueller that they might well face a pardon. And remember, almost all of those that he pardoned were not individuals charged with ordinary crime, but with corrupt acts.
Yeah, let's look at the pardon of Dinesh D'Souza, the most recent actual pardon for campaign finance charges. As you mentioned, he was charged with the Corrupt Act and did plea guilty, I believe, in court for that. What was the president's rationale for that pardon?
Well, the president doesn't give much rationales or factual background for anything. Basically, he said that D'Souza was being treated very unfairly, implying, of course, just like he is being treated very unfairly by this so-called deep state justice club. In fact, D'Souza, as you say, pleaded guilty. He was called caught red-handed. There's no indication that he wasn't guilty of a corrupt act, for which I don't believe he even got any jail time.
And you mentioned the idea of signaling with these pardons. Do you think that this is mainly intended for the audience of people who might be under investigation, facing charges by the Mueller probe, and might be considering cooperating with the Mueller probe?
Absolutely. The last thing President Trump wants is anyone who has any knowledge of what was going on in the campaign cooperating with Mueller. There are already quite a few important people cooperating with Mueller. But one of those who he surely does not want cooperating with Mueller is Paul Manafort, his former campaign chair, who was involved as the campaign chair at a critical juncture of the campaign at the very point when Donald Trump was being nominated by the Republican Party for the presidency.
Talking to Alan Lichtman, distinguished professor in the Department of History at American University, about the pardon process, how it's been used recently by President Trump. Alan, I want to compare and contrast with a couple of controversial pardons of the past. First, going back to President Gerald Ford pardoning his predecessor, Richard Nixon. Can you talk about that, how that fits into the history of the pardon process?
Yeah, that was, of course, the most unusual pardon in the history of the country, pardoning a former president and basically issuing a blanket pardon. It wasn't a pardon for any specific crime because he hadn't been charged with anything yet, but it was a blank check pardoning him for any charges that could be brought against him. And, of course, that at the time was enormously controversial, hurt the Ford presidency. But believe me, I'm no friend of Richard Nixon. I've been very critical of him. But I think Gerald Ford actually did the right thing. And the reason is Nixon was already removed from office. He had no power. He was a private citizen. And if, in fact, Nixon had been charged and tried in a court of law, it would have ruined the Ford presidency, because that's all that the American people would have been focused on, would be the spectacular trials of Richard Nixon. I think Ford had to pardon Nixon if he wanted a presidency.
And then people point to the President Clinton pardon of Mark Rich, a supporter of the Clintons, as a controversial one. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, I think that was probably an unwise pardon. I really didn't see the rationale for that pardon, other than perhaps cashing in on a political favor. But this is, you know, if he were to pardon Manafort and others, this is totally different, because there wasn't any issue about Mark Rich having anything on Bill Clinton. In fact, that happened, right, I think, right at the end of the Clinton presidency. But to pardon people in order to avoid them testifying against you is unique in all of American history. This is not comparable to the Jimmy Hoffa pardon, to the Richard Nixon pardon, to the Mark Rich pardon. This is something new, and I think it's part of what I see as an extensive pattern on the part of the president to do everything in his power to derail, disrupt, and to discredit the investigation.
And President Trump tweeted, as has been stated, I'm quoting here, as has been stated by numerous legal scholars, I have the absolute right to pardon myself, but why would I do that when I've done nothing wrong? So that's a big question. Does the president have the power to pardon the president?
Before I get into that, let me say, why would you even bring it up if you're totally innocent? That just makes no sense. Second, it is an unsettled question, of course. It's never happened. But I think it's utterly contrary to the Constitution. Constitution makes it explicit a president can't pardon himself for impeachment. It then goes on to say, if a president is impeached and removed, he is then subject for prosecution and conviction of any crimes. If, in fact, the president could pardon himself, why have that part of the Constitution even in existence? Because the president could easily vitiate it by issuing a pardon of himself during an impeachment process. So it makes no sense in terms of what's actually in the Constitution for the president to have the power to pardon himself. You know, I would go back to George Washington. When George Washington issued his first extensive pardons, he pardoned individuals involved in the whiskey anti-tax rebellion. And he said, you know, I exercise this power only with the greatest compassion and circumspection, and only for people who are truly remorseful, and keeping always in mind the dignity of the president and how he represents the national interest. All I can say is Donald Trump is no George Washington.
Now, you are well known for your predictions of the outcome of presidential races. Looking at a bunch of fundamentals, you had predicted the election of Donald Trump as president. And then you've been in the news. You predicted early in his term that it wasn't going to end well for him one way or another. You thought impeachment or some other removal from office in the works. Is that still something you're expecting?
Absolutely. You know, when I first published my book, The Case for Impeachment, it was about a year and a quarter ago, about 15 months ago, people said, come on, Lichtman, you know, the president's barely been in office. How could you possibly be predicting impeachment? Come on, you're way out of the limb. And lo and behold, who's talking about impeachment? The president's own lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who in fact said if the president pardoned himself, we would go directly to impeachment. So all of a sudden, impeachment, something that I was talking about so long ago, has become mainstream. And I do think it's going to happen, because I do think what we know about this awful conspiracy with the Russians to destroy our democracy, what we know publicly is bad enough, and it's the tip of the iceberg, I believe, of what Robert Mueller knows. And I think there are going to be some devastating indictments coming down, which are going to put the Republicans in the position of either moving towards impeachment or losing at the polls in November and the Democrats taking over, and then they can impeach the president with no Republican votes.
We'll leave it there, Alan. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
That's Alan Lichtman, distinguished professor in the Department of History at American University. He joined us today to talk about President Trump and the powers of the presidential pardon.